Blog Talk Radio.
Are you prepared to navigate today's bond markets for your clients? With decades of experience, NFS has helped advisors uncover fixed income investment opportunities through volatile markets. Learn more at MFS.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servodidio, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. Also, check out my show, The Alexa Show, on alexatvshow.com or at wpcommunitymedia.org. Tonight, I have such an incredible show. On the line, I have Cyrus Alderwood. He's born in Fort Lauderdale and raised in the Appalachian Mountains of Virginia. Alderwood brings a unique and creative style to his work. Often referred to as unconventional, he writes across multiple genres that include horror and comedy. In his work, Tales from the Sunset Pub, you'll see the range in the various stories that are based on a group of savages from Cincinnati that he calls friends. Alderwood prides himself on being an avid reader, not holding allegiance to any specific genre. Many of his favorite authors and those that influence him are John Steinbeck, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Hunter S. Thompson, Charles Bukowski, Jack Kerouac, Stephen King, Cormac McCarthy, and countless independent and self-published authors. You can find Cyrus on Facebook and Twitter at Cyrus Alderwood. Cyrus, welcome to Insight into Healing. I'm just so excited to have you on the show this evening.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on. I certainly appreciate coming on and speaking with you and your guest and your audience today.
Thank you. So please tell my audience, how did you get started with your writing? Because you have various books out, and we'd really love to hear about how did you get started? How did you know you wanted to be an author?
Oh, wow. This goes back to 18 years, actually. You know how a lot of people at some point they say, hey, before I die, I want to write a book?
Yes.
I was looking at that situation back in 1999 or early 2000. I had left a company. I was a broker for a company out of St. Louis. And I'd left that company, and I was trying to transition to another company. I kind of had about 3 months of downtime, and I was bored to tears. And I thought to myself, you know, everybody always says they want to write a book before they die. What am I waiting on? You know, none of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. So I moved to Cincinnati and took a job with a national brokerage firm, their offices out of Cincinnati. And a friend of mine was actually giving me a tour around the city. And she drove me over to on the west side of town to this old cemetery. And it turned out to be the second largest cemetery in the country. It's called Spring Grove Cemetery. So she drove me through there, and the inspiration for a story actually hit me that day in June of 2000. And I went home, and I started taking notes in my little apartment at the time in Hyde Park. I was taking notes about, you know, this story idea. I just kind of let it develop, and over the next couple of months, for the first time ever, I wrote down an entire book summary, outlined the entire thing, and had the characters in my head and started writing probably, I want to say, August of that year. And I just only intended on writing one book, but 18 years later, here I am. I still haven't stopped yet.
That's so amazing, and it's so encouraging because I find so many times people think it's, you know, so much harder or they don't have the confidence to start writing their book. And I think there doesn't have to be any set protocol people have to follow. You got inspired and you just started writing down. And let me tell you, horror is my favorite thing, horror and mystery and all that. So it's right up my alley. But I think it's so incredible and inspiring also for other people to know it's really what inspires you to write. And anyone, you can really do it if you just put your heart and mind to it.
That's true. And, you know, when I said that I was in a cemetery and got inspired, and it was a horror novel. It actually turned out to be a four-part series. I just rewrote the first book all over again and released it about 3 weeks ago. And I'm going to be releasing the other three over the next several months. But, you know, when I went into this place, it was so beautiful and serene. There were people jogging. There were people, elderly couples walking and holding hands. I saw a couple of painters with their easels out painting parts of the landscape. I talked to a poet that day that was sitting on a bench by one of the small lakes, which has over a dozen lakes on this property. So I talked to a poet who was sitting there writing about a loved one he had lost. And I thought, wow, you know, what a place to be inspired. Just depends on what you look at with your own eyes. Yeah, you can find the confidence to write a book anywhere. And writing a book actually teaches you a lot of confidence. I tell that to a lot of new writers that actually contact me and ask me for advice. And it's a good thing to do. It's kind of therapeutic in a way and kind of helps you grow as a person. And as you grow as a writer, you grow as a person. There's no way around it.
Yes. And how incredible that the book, you know, you would think inspired by a cemetery would be something more on horror, but also what you just said really points out the cemetery is a peaceful, inspiring, calming place for others to be with lost loved ones. So there's always different viewpoints and different perceptions and narratives.
Right. I mean, you can rekindle love that had passed. You can fondly remember old memories of friends and family, cousins, whoever, when you visit a cemetery. Or it could be, you know, sadness and something macabre, depending on what your personal motivation is when you look at these things. Not to bring it down, but today is actually my father passed away 3 years ago today. And
wow.
Just getting an opportunity to visit the cemetery where he's from, you know, it always kind of, a little tearful, but even still, but it's still nonetheless inspiring that when you think about the lives that people live and the perseverance that people go through from start to finish, you know, there's so many stories to be told that doesn't have to be horror. It could be anything, love, loss, perseverance, success. You know, there's, you know, so many success stories of people that, you know, you hear in their eulogies. And, it can be an amazing place.
And it's very powerful, too, because I always say a lot of times on my radio show and on my television show, things happen in life that are very upsetting and traumatic. But to find kind of the something out of it to move forward, the healing part, the writing, the painting, the poems, I think it really just shows that you can really start your work and start your healing where you are in your process of grieving, of healing, of peace, of acceptance. I think it's so powerful. Yeah. And use that as an inspiration to write. Even if you thought you would never write a book, I think that's so, so powerful. How many books do you actually have out?
I have 6 books out right now on Amazon and other online retailers. And I have 3 more that are written I'm doing rewrites on, and 1 in the works I'm almost finished with. So I've written a total of 10. I'll have 11 out here probably fairly soon.
Incredible.
So that's a lot of books, and they're across many different genres.
Yes. What type of things are these books about? What are different themes?
One of the themes that I really kind of got really married to, I guess, early on, this was a few years ago, I wrote a comedy called Pot of Gold. And the underlying theme of it was not just perseverance, but that place where you lose yourself and you find yourself in life, whether it could be where you're at with your job, your relationships, or just where you're at philosophically in your own mind, where you want to be at in life. So I love that theme that I picked up from a lot of the beat writers, like Jack Kerouac and Ferlinghetti and some of the others. As you know, if you go back and read some of that literature from the 50s, so that's one of the themes I really like to have in, you know, flowing through my books, plus perseverance and finding courage in the absence of anyone else having it. So those are some really powerful themes. Now, when I wrote Pot of Gold, this may be of interest to your audience. I was actually going through a very, very bad depression at the time. And I know, like, you know, some people have severe depressions and it's all just relative to how, you know, what people have been through. At the time I'd had in my life, everything was falling apart. I had a company that had went under. I'd lost everything I had. Found out my father was very ill at the time. And so when I lost everything there, I came back here to stay with him and kind of help him through all of his health issues. up until the end. But I was in such a dark, depressed state that I knew that wasn't me. So I just decided to laugh at my own situation. And I started writing the story Pot of Gold. And that really taught me how to laugh again. So that could, you know, that can be, you know, like I said, therapeutic for people that have never written a book that want to write something. Sometimes just being able to laugh at yourself and can kind of bring you out of the darkness into a better place in life. So that book is really, really special to me. And, you know, like I said, the theme of the place where you lose yourself and you find yourself is all through that. And you can see that in each of the characters who have their own obstacles.
Yeah, and it happens to us in so many times, at different times of our life and different stages of our life, finding ourselves, losing ourselves, redefining ourselves, sometimes based on outside circumstances that we have no control over. And yes, it's very traumatic and takes a while to redefine or find out who you are. But I think it's incredible what you said is you found out how to laugh at yourself. And I think it's finding something through this that can get you through. How long did it take you to be able to figure out and find that, okay, I can laugh again, I can laugh at myself, I can find some healing through this?
It took a while to start the book. So I was actually going through that period of life for several months before I even got to the point where it's like, listen, I need to do something because nothing in my life is working, and I, you know, this is not who I am. So I've been several months before I started thinking about that. And honestly, this, I hate to say, it's kind of embarrassing to say, it's not something you tell friends or family when you're going through it, but I was literally at that point where I was angry every day that I woke up because I didn't want to wake up. I was just like, you know, God, what's coming today? You know, what's in store? You know, I didn't know if it was going to be just another ho-hum day of the same old, or if it was going to, something was going to pile on, you know, and it seems like things would pile on. So I went through an injury at the time too. I broke my arm in 7 places and had to have my left arm kind of put back together again. And, you know, everything were, you know, works fine now, but, you know, so when you pile on medical bills, it seems like Murphy's Law. So when I sat down to actually start writing this book, once I got through the first chapter, actually the writing process itself, and some of the scenes that I had in my head, I started reliving them in my head as I was writing. I was literally by day 2 laughing out loud while I was writing this stuff. So if you go 3 or 4 pages and you don't find something to laugh about in this book, then I didn't do my job at all. But it was one of those things that I learned that no one else, no matter what anybody said or what kind of encouragement anybody gave me, the only person that's getting you out of that kind of darkness is you. And I learned that lesson the hard way, and learning to laugh at myself again was part of that process.
Yes, so powerful. And also, you know, before the show started, we were speaking about you have your own company, which I know many of my listeners are going to be very excited and will definitely be contacting you, a self-publishing company. Can you tell my listeners about that?
Yeah, one thing that I've done, I've been involved with a regional authors guild for probably about 3 or 4 years now. And and being online and social media, I've had people approach me saying, hey, would you mind reading what I wrote, see how this sounds, you know, and ask me for advice on how to self-publish so I could tell them how to go online, where to do this, and how to get their books made available. So what I did is actually I set up a company that called Anarchy Creations, Inc., and that's Inc. with I-N-K. So if you go to that website, Anarchy Creations, Inc., you'll see that I offer some editing and proofreading services. When I first got started, I got hosed by a couple of people, a couple of companies that I'll not name. When you send them your manuscript and ask them to edit, and they did a horrible job editing. And anybody that wants to edit their own work, I tell you, just have somebody else do it for you. Edit your own work as much as you can, but always have somebody else read it for you, because I promise you, no matter how good of an editor you are, you will miss half of your own mistakes. Because in your mind, you know what you're trying
to
say, and you just read through it. And you know, if you don't believe me, just sit down and write 2 paragraphs, and you'll probably find 3 mistakes the next day.
Yes.
If you wait the next day to read it. So what I wanted to do is, you know, these people, they charge a lot of money, and some people are very good. You know, I guess you get what you pay for. And some people will charge you like maybe $1 per page or something like that to edit their work, but they don't tell you that they 250 words is a page to them. Well, okay, that's not, you know, about 700, about 500 is a page to me. So you're kind of doubling up. So if you really wanted to have editing services and proofreading services and have that in-depth discussion about what can make your book a better book, you're probably paying $1,500. And if you're a self-published independent writer, you never know how much you're going to make on your books. You might not make anything. Yeah, you might make $100. I don't know. You might be the next J.K. Rowling. You just never know. So I wanted to offer those kind of services where it could kind of be personal, where I could Skype with somebody so we can kind of see each other when we talk and talk about their book. Let's get them talking about the theme. Are there places we can make the theme a little bit stronger? Are the characters well-developed? And, again, it's all opinion stuff. But I'll do a proofreading and an editing service and make it about as affordable as I can get, make it at least be worth my time. I've done that for several people for free for a long time, just decided, hey, you know what, I could probably supplement a little bit of income where it's so hard to sell books and you're an independent writer. And if I'm doing this anyway, I could save people a lot of money in doing it and give them probably just as good a service as they're getting elsewhere.
That's amazing. Nice of you to do that. I mean, to give back. And you know how hard it is to write your own books, to get them published, and to help other authors starting out and trying to get their book out there. I really commend you for that. That's really amazing work.
Yeah, it's good to do. And plus, I can't complain. I get a chance to read a book for free. Hey, I really enjoy, just reading anything I can get my hands on, and no matter what genre. And like I said, I've had many members of the Appalachian Authors Guild actually contact me and ask me to beta read one of their books. And so, I thought, well, hey, I can help newer authors. And actually, if you go to my website, cyrusalderwood.com, there's a blog section there. And if you scroll down through some of the blog, you'll find I wrote a piece about the different steps in the writing process to help new writers. Because sometimes you just, you may have a story idea, you don't know where to start. So I've put a lot of that information out there for free in blogs and try to be as helpful to new writers as I can. It's a tough go when you're an independent writer to get your word out, the word out on your books and so forth.
What would you say to someone who's writing a true story, a life story about their struggle in their life? How would you help them start that or help them edit that? What would you have any tips you could tell them?
Yeah, I think one of the first things that I would ask them, the editing and the proofreading services, would be, how personal do you want to get, and are you afraid to be too personal? It's ironic you ask that, because I literally just beta read a book for a guy who was writing his memoirs, and it's going to be the first of he's going to write some about his family and that he could pass down basically his grandchildren one day and great grandchildren. And, how personal do you want to get? A lot of people, I realize they don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And if you have something very personal to say, that resonates with people. So that would be the first discussion I would have with somebody that wanted to write a book on their own memoirs. Don't be afraid to open up that closet and maybe let a couple of skeletons fall out, because we all have them. And the more we relate to them, the more people are going to keep turning the pages.
Mm-hmm.
So that would probably be my first suggestion before we get into the actual writing process.
Wonderful. So, question, what is your favorite, holding the actual book in your hand or Kindle or reading it through the computer?
I've got probably 200 books on my Kindle, but there's nothing like holding a paperback or hardback in your hand. I'm still old-fashioned that way. I prefer it. The only reason I'll buy Kindles if I see a book that's maybe an author I've never heard of and they've got a paperback for $19.95 or a Kindle for $5.99, I'm probably going to buy the Kindle. If it's good stuff, then maybe next time I'll buy the paperback. For independent writers, I will kind of point this out for them. When you publish and you have a paperback available and a Kindle available, personally for myself, I sell most of my all my Kindles for $3.99. And when you buy one of those, I might make $2.50. I can sell the same paperback for $9.95 and make about $2.50. So you have to raise your prices higher on your paperback, so you actually get more return and save people money on Kindles. But I always like paperback.
Wow.
Nothing like having that smell of that book in your hand.
Yes, and just holding it really makes you feel like you're there and involved and keeps you, I think, in that state of mind. You're not too distracted. Sometimes when you're on other things, they can distract you.
Oh, I know. I'm a super nerd. I could hang out in a Barnes & Noble all day.
Yes.
I would never get old.
So incredible. You get caught up in all the different books. Now, in the beginning in the bio, I read about a book, Tales from the Sunset Pub. What's that about?
Well actually, when I lived in Cincinnati, I lived there for quite a few years and made a lot of friends there. And a friend of mine owned a pub called the Sunset Pub, so it's a real place. And when we would all get off work, I worked at a brokerage firm, and when we would all get off work, it's a bunch of friends of mine in the neighborhood that worked at different places downtown. We would all meet at the Sunset Pub probably a couple of nights a week and just hang out and laugh. I was in a citywide dart league in Cincinnati, and you know, we would just kind of go around and get to know a lot of people. And I still talk to these people today. They're still some of my best friends I've ever made. And I kept joking around with these guys. Like, you know, one of these days I'm going to write a book about us. They're based on, you know, all of us. So I made up a bunch of fictional stories, but I used some of my friends as like their character traits as a backdrop for the story. Now, there are a couple of things, like the Vegas story that's in there. It's called What Happens in Vegas. Parts of that rang true, you know. But it was just very kind of a funny book, that a collection of short stories based off of these characters that I've known for a long time. Not all of the stories are funny. There are a couple that are a little bit more very dramatic. Just kind of I was writing some things outside of my wheelhouse at the time. So it's a multi-genre book. Probably one of the more creative things I've written to date, but funny nonetheless. It's kind of like that, if you've seen that movie, The Hangover, it's kind of like the Cheers meets The Hangover. If you remember that movie, that show Cheers from the 80s.
Yes. So oh, incredible.
It's like where Cheers meets The Hangover. Yeah, it's not obviously a kid's book. I write things for adults, but it's not anything dirty. You might have a little salty language, nothing more than you'd find in a Stephen King book, but it's funny nonetheless. So, yeah, it was fun writing that story, just kind of thinking back on some of those memories. And like I said, I still keep in touch with some of these guys probably on a weekly basis, with these guys and gals, I should say, in the book.
I find that really people, readers, viewers, listeners, are really looking and feeling like they want something to relate to. Yes, sometimes it's good to see these fantasy-type shows or books, but I think really showing reality, showing vulnerability, showing real life things that happen, the reader really draws to that because they're able to relate to it and also take something from it.
Yeah, and you know, if you can get a laugh from it, you know, that's great. I did my job. Or if it's something that makes you think, like some of the themes I mentioned, that runs through pretty much, you know, I have some really strong underlying themes to a lot of my books. It's a pleasure to write these. It's a pleasure to live these movies out in my head and put them down on paper. And there's nothing more exciting to me than jumping on Amazon and seeing somebody rank one of my books. You know, that's always such a big deal to me. You know, I know they tell you not to read your reviews, but if somebody read something that they laughed, somebody left one that was a good book to read on a rainy day. I guess somebody had a bad day and made a comment about it. But, that was a kind of a bright spot of their day reading one of my stories. I thought, well, yeah, that's great, you know,
mm-hmm.
If you put a smile on somebody's face.
Yes. How long did it take you to write Tales from the Sunset Pub?
Oh, my gosh, it didn't take very long at all. Once I sat down to write that, I think I ripped off those short stories in probably 2 or 3 months. And then what I did at that point, I'll sit on the stories for a while and go back and look at them again, see if I still like them, you know, if it's something I want to put out. But, yeah, it didn't take very long in the writing process for that at all, because just sometimes you're kind of in that zone, they say, you know, like athletes are in the zone. When you're a writer, mm-hmm. when you get in the zone, stay in it. Don't get up unless you have to go to the bathroom or you can't keep your eyes open. But, no, I was writing that book. I was in the zone a lot of times with that process. But it was fun. It was fun. Some are a little harder to get through, but the key thing is to never try to force a book or try to force a story or a scene, because your reader will spot that a mile away. And that's another piece of advice I try to give folks. You can always move on to the next piece of the book you're writing if you want to, but don't ever feel forced to write something, because it'll come across. It'll stick out like a sore thumb. And I've made that mistake a bunch of times. So that's why I tell people don't make mistakes I've made. I'm looking forward to making all new ones. So, that's the thing as a writer. You always make mistakes. Every book, you learn something new about yourself and about the process. And there's no right or wrong way to write a book. You mentioned that at the beginning of the show. The only right way to write a book is your way. So there's a lot of controversy about writers that will tell you don't ever outline. Some say always use an outline, and what kills the creative process and what doesn't. But no, there's no right or wrong way, just your way.
Yeah, I think it's what works for you. Each person is so different. I'm in the process of writing my second book, and I know definitely I don't sit down and write one full chapter at a time. I write like couple beginnings to each chapter, and then I go back, and then I go back, because I find if you try to force yourself on an idea and on a certain, it's forced. It's not what it's supposed to be. So sometimes you just have to take a step back and then get back to it on another day when you have a clearer mind.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of new writers always, they try to force. And you pick that up in some books. Because I always try to buy, you can always go out and find a Stephen King book at a library, and he's made enough money. He's a great writer, but I'd rather check one out at the library than buy one, because I would rather go buy, a $4.99 Kindle or a $10.99 paperback from somebody that's new that really could maybe use the confidence of seeing a sale, or somebody that's willing to give them an honest review on their book. And maybe, you never know, it might help turn the page on somebody else getting their books out there. A good story that needs to be heard.
So you have a few more books about to come out. Where do you see yourself in the next year or two? Will you keep on writing more books? Any new ideas, any new themes, surprises coming up?
Yeah, I do. I have one collection. I'm probably going to stick with a group of shorter stories, like novellas, for a comedy that I'm working on about this guy who's used to be a private detective, but lost his license because he's just kind of a slob. And then he finds himself being hired under the table to look into really crazy, like X-Files type cases, but they're all kind of slapstick comedies. So I'm writing them in shorter increments about just some of the craziest stuff like you would see in headlines. That's like, oh, that can't be real, like funny headlines or crazy headlines. So I'm kind of working on that. So I'm about halfway done with the first one of those. And I'll probably use that to write a series and maybe just kind of keep those on Kindle. But I recently visited a town in Georgia called Elberton, Georgia. And if you've never heard of the Georgia Guidestones, there's this really crazy conspiracy theory around it. And conspiracy theorists go nuts over these Guidestones. It's kind of like America's Stonehenge. So if you do a Google search, you'll find out it's like a new set of Ten Commandments that somebody spent a ton of money to have put up in the middle of a field to look like Stonehenge in the middle of nowhere, Georgia. So I'm working on a book. I just started the book. I've done some interviews of people in town that all want to be anonymous because there's still such a hazy thing around, anybody talking about it. But that'll be a book that I'm working on now. That'll be coming out. And the one that I just mentioned, I wrote about the cemetery. It was based off of the cemetery. It's called Grave Legends. It was a 4-part series. And I wrote them years ago. And looking at all the mistakes I made, I went back, pulled them off the shelf, because I was learning as a writer over the years, and I wasn't comfortable having that out there. So as I learned and I grew, I pulled those off the shelf, and I've done a rewrite of the first one, so it's out there. And I'll do a rewrite of the second, third, and fourth one, because the story is a really good story. So I've got those coming out. And I got a couple of other book ideas sitting on the shelf I'm just kind of waiting for time to do.
Wonderful. Well, we're at the end of the show, and I just wanted to thank you again so much for coming on and telling us about your writing. It's been such a pleasure.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. And again, for your audience, check me out on social media. Just type Cyrus Alderwood. And you can visit my website at cyrusalderwood.com and anarchycreationsinc.com if you're interested in maybe some of my editing and proofreading services. Definitely take a look at that, and hopefully you'll pick up one of my books and get a laugh out of it.
Definitely. Thank you. And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. If you'd like to send us an email, you can reach out and send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com. Everyone, have a good night and God bless.